let's put a trigger warning on trigger warnings.
I gotta take it on the other side.
Yes, we are back. Whoa, man. Why am I so loud all of a sudden, Anthony? How you doing today, sir? It's nice to be back with you, everybody. The other side, Dan Borowski here, Anthony Dorenzo. Dude, we are going to go at it today, I think, on the whole issue of TikTok. We kind of went at it a little bit on the Dom Giordano program. I'm the producer of that show. Anthony's the producer of Dawn Stensland, Kale and Company. But Anthony, first off, it's been about 2 weeks. I was on vacation. I went down to Cancun, Mexico, came back with the Montezuma's Revenge. But how was your couple of weeks? Mine was not so good.
It's been really, really, really busy with the election season finally here and Mayor Parker now fully here today giving her budget. And yeah, TikTok, is this going to launch young voters into the thread here in 2024? Was that on the bingo card before we got into this?
Do you really think, though, that this is actually that big of an issue that it's going to become an election thing? And that's genuinely where I want to go with this, because I feel like a lot of Republicans are now approaching this somewhat as a political issue, trying to seem like the cool party here in being, against the TikTok ban. But Anthony, encapsulate the entire situation that we're talking about here, if you've been unplugged, and why you think what you think.
Listen, I am not going to sit here and just defend China. I don't think the Communist Party never has our full good intentions in their mind. So I'm not really trying to defend them from that sense. But I think this comes down to freedom. This comes down to data. And I think it really is. I know we said yesterday Dom hates the slippery slope argument. But in my opinion, this is the Patriot Act 3.0. Like, that is what it is. They want more control. They want to be able to ban things. And they want even more power than that they've had. Like, I think to me, when I see this, it just reminds me of like COVID. And they said it was just 2 weeks. Like, no, they want power. They want more power. And they know that we're kind of disengaged to a point. And they want to just keep taking it and taking it away and taking it away and taking it away. And I really do. You know, it's funny seeing both sides kind of get swayed by super PACs and their opinions on this issue. But it scares me a little bit because it just is authoritarian. And, you know, I do understand the concern around China. I really do. But I think this comes down to personal responsibility. Then don't download it. I mean, it's banned on federal devices. Biden banned it. So
for good reason.
I'm not especially government devices. I think that's a good idea. But, you know, when it comes to personal lives.
But if we know it's such an issue that the Chinese government, we need to ban it off federal devices because we're worried that the Chinese government's going to access data of our federal workers. Why is it not applied to the private citizen? Why are we not working as a federal government to protect the privacy of just individual citizens?
I mean, this is where I get conflicted, just because where does government step in? But I'm just very skeptical of our own government. The way that they've used Twitter, the way that they've manipulated things. I mean, when Snowden was the whistleblower back in the day, I'm very skeptical of our own government. I really do think this comes down to data. And you're right. Our citizens should think about TikTok way more, and even finding a way to make them sell it. That might be the solution long term. And I mean, Dom yesterday, when he made that point about Twitter improving, I agree with that. I mean, I'd argue sometimes it doesn't seem improved, but you know what I mean? Like, under American
ownership. It's not a nefarious government. You know, I asked you yesterday, if we were talking about North Korea putting out an app that could essentially access all the data on someone's phone, we're not just talking about the data of the app itself. I mean, the privacy agreement allows for keystrokes for other apps, for other programs. They're looking at everything that's on your phone. You're giving access to an adversary. It's not a good government, China. For some reason, seems like the threat against China, I know you take it seriously, but for our generation in general, they don't take the threat of China as serious as they should, I don't think. If this was North Korea and subverting us, then I think there would be, you know, much more openness to ban this app, or at least stay off of it. I can't believe we have an entire freaking generation defending an app that's it's legitimately designated to ideologically subvert our culture. I use that phrase a lot, and I see you kind of smile there, but it's an actual phrase from the KGB that they've been using for 30 years, trying to, you know, do it to us through slow methods. China's found a way to do it technologically quickly using algorithms, and we're just sitting there letting it happen to us. We're being supported ideologically.
I do agree, and they have been slowly and slowly and slowly, not just with TikTok, but plenty of ways with how we rely on them with manufacturing. We've exported so much to them. And on top of that, I think the bigger concern comes down to things like the spy balloons, them buying up farmland, them producing our medicine. I mean, those them creating the fentanyl crisis with we've broken that down here, talking about how that impacts everything to even Trank in Kensington. So I think the bigger issue are those things. And I'm not again, I get TikTok plays into that, but that is us as Americans. That's something we need to be smarter. Don't use it then if you're worried about that. If we're going to be, and also be aware of what your kids are doing. Don't let them sit there on a screen all day and get manipulated and you know, fall for the religion of politics today that is, you know, becoming normalized.
Yeah.
So and that's, and I again, I'm not trying to say you don't have a point, because in the end, they are taking our data. They're taking mine as well. But I love TikTok from a content standpoint. It gives me great stuff that I wouldn't find otherwise.
The guy you see here, I have a very unfortunate freeze frame there, is Representative Scott Perry, who appeared today on the Dom Giordano program. And he really echoes what you got to say, and I think it's great to hear from an official voice such as Scott Perry. Before we go there, though, GTO girl, I wouldn't put TikTok on anything I own. As a matter of fact, if we have work emails on our phones, we're not allowed to have TikTok. I think that's the case for a lot of people. Again, stressing the danger of TikTok individually. We'll get into social media in general here in a second, but here's what Scott Perry had to say.
Let me be clear. China's a problem. China is spying on Americans. We all know that. But this vehicle was very concerning to me. The language was very broad, just like the Patriot Act that was passed after 9/11 with good intentions and then turned on the American people. The language was very broad in this, and I was concerned, and I am concerned, that this will be turned on the American people. And quite honestly, I don't think that I think there are better ways to inform the American people that TikTok is actually an instrument or an agent of the Communist Party of China. But I think that the American people should be able to make those choices. I don't think the federal government should be a babysitter. And I think there are better ways of doing this. For instance, I have long had and advocated through a bill to label the Communist Party of China as a transnational criminal organization. And if we did that, that would allow the Attorney General of the United States to prosecute the Chinese Communist Party and their agents, including agents in America, conducting espionage on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party against America. So we got to get serious. There's a better way to do this instead of imposing or potentially imposing on Americans' freedoms. So I ended up voting no on this bill because of its imperfections, and I think we can do better. So that's the wrap up for the week, and we'll see you next week with the
Yeah, so he talks about the language in specific and went deeper on the Dom show about that. Let me pull up some of the language from the bill itself. This is what he was focusing on. It says, under the bill, a foreign adversary controlled application is directly or indirectly operated by one ByteDance Limited or TikTok, or here's the question, two, a social media company that is controlled by a foreign adversary and has been determined by the president to present a significant threat to national security. Their prohibition does not apply to an application that is primarily used to post product reviews, business reviews, travel information reviews. But the language in question is here, has been determined by a president to present a significant threat to national security. So I see what you're talking about. If you go, you know, I did read the bill. I pulled up and delved into it. There are some provisions in here that if they want to apply it to anybody but the communist Chinese or ByteDance or TikTok, that there has to be like a 30-day process period and has to go through an entire, you know, governmental control thing. But again, to your point, with a Patriot Act situation, if you have a one-sided, you know, controlled government of Congress, Senate, presidency, it's pretty easy to pass through fairly quickly a ban on a company, right, Anthony?
Yes, and I think if I didn't have evidence that this was already happening in our government, I wouldn't be as concerned. But look at what keeps happening. I mean, we bring this up a lot when it comes to executive orders, how we're in this vicious cycle of tearing things down and then building it back up and almost not playing by the rules. So especially now with people like Trump and the way he kind of took advantage of the Supreme Court issue or, you know, like elections there, and on top of the Democrats, the way that they're trying to, you know, with Republicans ousting Santos, like, if you do get, like you said, pieces of the government working together, this is something, like, if you ask most Americans now, they don't necessarily align fully with one of these parties other than, like, very much political activists. And so, like, I don't think many people want them being able to make these decisions on their own without our say at all.
Interesting comment here from Sid. I get great conservative content on TikTok.
It's true. I try to tell Nick Kale that all the time. He doesn't listen.
No, there's great conservative content. There's also great hyper progressive content, which creates like Twitter pages like Libs of TikTok and all.
Yeah.
But that's the point. It's the most divisive crap is shown on the algorithms to try to get you thinking how much you hate one another rather than how much you unite with one another.
Yep.
Like that. That's the entire idea of ideological subversion. Here is Yuri Bezmenov, 1984, former KGB agent, explaining what I keep talking about. Just it's a real quick clip, Anthony.
Only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages.
Very, very fascinating video that goes on and on. He goes into the four stages there, but it's been exasperated by the Chinese government using TikTok. Here's a example. Here's Moon on YouTube. This is actually a more recent video than I usually show here, Anthony, but explaining what's been happening, what essentially the Chinese government have been able to do to TikTok using the algorithms.
But for young children, it's even worse. Those key years where you explore and learn about the world through your own senses have been sabotaged. Kids rarely, if ever, go outside on their own. They're learning about the war through TikTok and online content. We already know this is damaging to people's mental health and even their ability to think clearly. A study of 3,000 students who used TikTok found that they suffered memory loss from using the app, most likely as a response to the stress and negative thoughts it creates, with TikTok even creating fake Tourette's syndromes, where it quite literally influences people's behavior so much that they develop Tourette's from TikTok. And TikTok is an entirely different subject, a weapon of the CCP, a way of the Chinese poisoning American society.
The isolation and anxiety we endured because of COVID is having a lasting and unwanted effect on an increasing number of teenage girls. It appears to have given them a kind of Tourette syndrome. They're ticking uncontrollably. Doctors don't understand why, but there's no doubt it's a very real mental health condition. And even more bizarrely, it seems popular TikTok videos are playing a role in it.
But this is a topic we've already discussed in much depth. And TikTok is just one part of the social media content diet, which we're all eating now. But something that studies don't get into is the awful effect this is having on American culture and society. It's all because of a phenomenon which sociologists have called the habitus. The basic principle is that we're exploring the world as kids and learning about our places. Experience. If someone is constantly feels cure, then there's a thought which doesn't care about them or actively attacks them for who they are, then it makes them more resentful, antisocial.
Yeah, I think it's breaking up there, but as you can hear there, it's talking about just the in-depth, and again, Moon on Twitter, go check that out, of how TikTok is essentially really creating a mental decline in an entire, you know, generation. Anthony?
I don't disagree with those things. Like, it is bad for you. When I use, I'm pretty sure I've said this to you before. When I use TikTok, like, it does scare me. Like, I put a time limit on purpose on it. I do love it because it gives me great stuff to work with. But yeah, it scares me. Like, I'll get into a trance. And honestly, it doesn't matter what the app is on my phone now. The second, like, you get tied into something and you get up, like, you know, an hour, 2 hours later, whatever, just get sucked in. It's like the worst feeling then. Like, it really genuinely is. And, like, all of these companies are fighting for those algorithms.
It's like a one-night stand.
Yeah, seriously. And, I mean, most of these people that work in Silicon Valley, they've worked at a lot of the companies. So, you know, they're mixing and matching all these people. They have the algorithm, you know, special sauce to make the Big Mac. So, you know, it's scary in general that all of them are getting us to this point. But that's why, I hate...
What's your solution? You got any solutions? I mean...
I get it. I'm not
like I've always been saying that the government needs to get involved. They need to ban TikTok. They need to find a way to specifically target that one company. I know. like, would you be in favor? Remember when MySpace was around? You had to be like 13 or older to.
I went around. That
you didn't
rule.
Need to prove.
I had one.
Yeah, you didn't need to prove it or anything. But like, am I being, you know, Dan the Red by suggesting maybe we should have like proof of driver's licenses before you can get on social media? Like,
my buddies were sending me a picture of me with a communist China hat on, saying Anthony the Red, kind of too.
But I'm saying like. Why not have a driver's license proof provided? Like a porn site. Like, you need a credit card.
Is this what you just need think of me? That's what it is. Yeah.
Dude, I know what the Maui fires are. He goes, some great rabbit holes to go down, like the Maui fires. I'll bet Anthony knows about. Are you talking about like the lasers in space?
Yeah.
How some the chrome of some cars were melted while a tree next to it looks completely fine. Yeah,
there are a lot of questions from there, and people don't like.
You think there are space lasers being sent down from
I don't know. I don't know if you
look at those Montreal fires, man, the ones that started up in Canada, starting at the same time in different locations.
It is crazy. But to wrap, we'll finish TikTok here. I just want to say I totally agree with all those things. But and I hate doing this because people are always like, oh, you're not a parent, so you don't get it. I really think this comes down to the decline of parenting, dude. And not only... the reliance.
That's
on
why
screens.
I'm doing radio, dude. I was actually a teacher. I was a student teacher, and I had parent-teacher conferences, and parents suck so bad because they either care too much or care too little, and the ones that care too little are so disappointing, man.
Dude, I mean, look at all of us today. We're all addicted to screens. I try to limit my time. I try to go outside. I try to read a book because it's so bad for you to do all the time, and we're all addicted to it. We're all conditioned for it. And now kids, they're mesmerized from it from the start. I mean, it's like having a plasma screen 80-inch TV if you're a baby holding a freaking iPad. So, like, it's terrible, dude. Terrible. I mean, it really is. And it sets this precedent that you just...
analogy.
Yeah, and you just live on the device. And that's what you learn from a young age. And that's, dude, it's terrible. And people have to be engaged in their kids' lives. And if they're using social media, it has to be limited. It has to be controlled, no matter what the app. And people need to bring back... you know, their sense of community and reality and stop.
Should let your kid, what's your age that when you have an eventual child, if you do, that you're cool with them using a social?
I would say like 15. I mean, it sounds a little strict, but I think that's the starting point for me. It's so funny because I would.
So like my nephews ran into the issue. Like, my sister held her kids out for a while from getting social media, but they started becoming like the weird kids that had the strict parents who weren't allowed to have a social media account. I mean, there was a stigma attached to it. You're not concerned about that at all?
I mean, if we change that as a, like our generation as parents could change that stigma, if that's not the expectation, like if we stop putting our kids all over social media before they're even consenting to it, to the point of like, I've told my girlfriend, once we have kids, they are not going on Facebook. Like this is, I don't care. I'm not, there's no way, especially like if I'm still doing this, like no chance in hell.
Yeah, there's
like, let them live their life without this stuff until they have to. Genuinely, like I don't think enough people take up that.
Last thing is sending my kids pictures being floated around like Kate Middleton's and.
Oh, let's get into that. Yeah.
Oh, you want to get into it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this story.
Yeah.
Dude, what is going on? So Kate Middleton posted Instagram. So last time on Other Side, we talked about a situation with the royal family, where Kate Middleton, she went through emergency colon or bowel surgery back in December. And it was really kept under the radar, mum, and she's been out of the public eye. News came out that she was going to be remained out of the public eye until after Easter. But as it usually goes with tabloids over in England, they've been demanding some kind of central proof that she's alive or she's okay. So on Instagram, she posts a picture, and I'm trying to find it. I thought I had it up here. Yeah, I do. She posts this picture, man. And it's very, very, very clearly photoshopped. You know, her arms are weirdly out of place. If you zoom in on certain points, there was actually like an analysis done that.
Yeah, the shirt under the hand too on the right.
Yeah, like you can see here.
Yeah.
Like there's like a weird fade there. So it's clearly photoshopped to the point that Kate Middleton posted allegedly on her Instagram saying that she's an amateur, you know, photographer, just practicing some photo editing skills, and essentially said that she herself posted this picture after editing it onto Instagram, the first picture of her in the public eye in a long time. And someone actually found out that their face shot, I don't have it here, but there's a good transition, was actually taken off of a Vogue cover. So it wasn't even like a private photo that they photoshopped onto here. It was like a vote. So just a really shoddy, weird situation here. Being out of the public eye, any theories that you've thought of as to why the Royals are essentially hiding what seems to be hiding Kate Middleton from the public?
I don't know what to think. There was another photo I should have sent it to you. There's her apparently in a car driving away, which is an actual real photo. It's the first real photo that was seen of her in the UK. That was, I think, like a day or two ago. And she's looking the other way. Like, it isn't her looking directly at the camera.
How are we sure it's her?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what is, I mean, people are saying this is a medical procedure and them being the royal family, maybe they're being private about it, but why? The thing is, they post that first picture, and then after Twitter and AP both put like a little community note saying this picture is photoshopped, they posted apologizing, saying like the amateur photography thing, like apologizing for the Photoshop. And yes, there's the picture of her apparently looking out the window. It's weird. I don't know what to think. It's definitely something. Like, again, I'm always going to be going to say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, people in power never tell us the truth. So what do you want us to do? Especially the royal family. Oh, my God. Like
I hardly ever care about the royal family. But this.
Well, I hate the whole idea around it. We're America. Let's get F them. Like, we left for a reason. But this one is interesting just because it's like, you know, unsolved mystery.
Well, so it's almost like the start of like another Shelley Miscavige kind of situation. Yeah. That's why I'm like so fascinated by it. Because whatever happened to Shelley? Like, where is she at?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I guess we'll continue following it. My best theory that I've kind of read is, maybe this emergency surgery led to her having a colostomy bag and her being a royal and needing to present a certain image. They don't want her to be seen with a
you don't want to seem
bag weird. Of poop, you know, hanging off your side. And then a more funny or lighthearted conspiracy theory is that she had a Brazilian butt lift, which has a very a very long recovery process. So some type of plastic surgery to raise her buns. Yeah. So what are you watching? Anything good that you checked out recently?
Oh, my God. Drop everything you're doing this weekend and go to the theater and watch cinema that is Dune 2. It is the greatest film I've seen from an action standpoint in the theater since Dark Knight, and it's not even close. It's everything and more. If you haven't seen the first one, you should probably watch it first, but you don't necessarily have to. You could watch a summary or read a little bio before watching the second one. But it's so good. But don't go into it expecting, you know, there is a lot of action. I'm not trying to downplay that. But at the same time, I think I really like Dune. Well, first of all, Star Wars wouldn't exist without Dune. They even steal specific things like spice. It's still even called spice in Star Wars. Yes.
I mean, if you look back at like study science fiction, so much of the book is essentially adapted into other things. And so many ideas are stolen from that, not just from Star Wars, but from, you know, Star Trek and other things as well.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, it's all a melting pot. I'm just taking nerdy jabs at Star Wars fans. But in reality,
you're out there.
I love, just specifically. But the thing is with Dune, Paul Atreides is perfectly paid by Timothy Chalamet, and everyone pretty much kills it. And the parallels, I've been begging Dom to do it. I don't think he has yet, because I think he'll have you'll have a big show, I think, once he finally watches all of Dune. But it's the parallels to
you power. Think it's going to be that big to him?
I mean, dude, when you take away, like, okay, the weird language, the space, the, all that, all Dune is a metaphor for power and government and corruption and, you know, thinking there is a chosen one. And
yeah, but don't hold your breath. That like Game of Thrones was the same thing, wasn't it? And both he and I hated that one.
The power
dynamic and the power politics.
Yeah.
No, but I'm with you on Dune 100%. Dune's amazing. I just couldn't get into Game of Thrones.
They just absolutely killed it, and this is the entirely perfect movie to see in a theater. Like, seeing this in IMAX is almost like, I know you were a little bummed with Oppenheimer because it was just like special effects and very biopic like this is action.
I'll be pissed if there's no space worms. Are there space worms?
Oh yeah.
There's worms.
Okay. Yeah, there's worms.
Yeah, at least they have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maisie and I love the first one on HBO that came out during the pandemic, and this is just a sequel to that, right? It's
yes, yeah, and there
that one was streaming release, and this one's a theater release. That's odd.
Well, I think they got canceled in theaters with COVID, but it came out whenever theaters opened again. I think they did play it. So
okay, you want to talk some aliens?
Yeah, that's perfect segue from Dune to Aliens. Let's go.
So High Strangeness is a subreddit where they talk about UFOs and the paranormal. And some guy is a ranch hand and posted a trail camera video. And I just want your thoughts on it. I want you to break it down. So here's what it looked like in real time. All right.
Dude, oh my God.
Okay. And then I have it slowed down and we'll, chop and screw it a little bit. And I'm just curious. Yes, go ahead.
Is that what you look like walking home from the bar? Like that?
So this guy's on a ranch. It's about 30 miles from any kind of other, life, and catches this on the trail cam. And I have to say, man, I've always wondered, with all these trail cams out there, first off, why have we not seen one of Bigfoot? You would think that one of these would be picking up Bigfoot by this point.
That's true.
But this looks like it might be an alien. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that neck, like, at first it looks like it could just be normal, but once you get to that side, like, that, is that Zuckerberg's dad? I don't know, like, the King Lizard?
All right, so someone said, is it somebody, like, a drunk female with a sweatshirt tied around the skirt, and the hair's hanging down, which makes the head and the neck look weird, carrying something in there?
I mean, so I'm going backwards here. That is a stretch, I would say.
Well, hold on. I'm here trying to claim that it's an alien. So you're saying it's not a stretch to claim that it's an alien, but it is a stretch to claim it's a female that's walking through a field.
I don't know. It doesn't look like a female. I'm kind of convinced immediately that, but it's, this is a problem with AI and computers now. Because that, look at how terrible quality that is. Anything can make that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, we need decisive imaging, and that's like seeing one of the Philadelphia police cameras.
Looks like a tail right there.
At the
Uh-oh, you disconnected there. Yo, is this the FBI? CIA? NSA? They stopping you from talking to me? Anthony,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. Okay, good.
Oh, my goodness.
Why is this every time we talk about aliens, you disconnect? I swear. We talked about the Miami aliens. Remember that? Yeah. All right. I'll move off of it. Because clearly Anthony's not feeling that it's aliens. One more thing that I want to talk about while Anthony pops back on, because the aliens seem to disconnect him, is Robert Kennedy. Welcome back, Anthony.
Sorry about that. What's up with that?
I don't know. Slumdog suggests that's an illegal alien, so maybe that's what's knocking you off is the illegal aliens. Let's blame them for everything, apparently. Where are those kids today? Talking about Kate Middleton's kids? I don't know. It's a good question. Probably in a palace somewhere. Anthony, so I was about to get into the new running mate for Robert Kennedy. I mean, it's not announced yet, but it's been pretty much assumed, I feel like, at this point. I think he officially announces on the 24th, who he'll be running with, but Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Jets, former Packers great, is being considered as a potential politician, a vice president to Robert Kennedy's president. First initial thoughts when you heard that, is it a winning tactic to have someone like Aaron Rodgers on your because you're a guy who has openly stated multiple times that you'd consider voting for Robert Kennedy, or you like the guy. Is this someone that firms that up, or someone that sends you away?
It gets me a little nervous just because it's like that flashy big name type of like, oh, let me try to just grab people with this controversy. But I think at the same time, maybe this is just him looking for some headlines, like really just looking for anything, because from them blocking him with secret security to, not letting any debate happen, regardless if they do have a debate, he won't be there. So, the way that they collude against him, I don't know. I mean, this is the kind of, I think it goes to my thinking of any publicity is good publicity. And Aaron Rodgers is as big as you can really get when it comes to like sports and politics colliding. So, I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but it's also, I can't with the knee-jerk reactions. Like Dom today when he opened, I didn't hear him go fully into it. But are you kidding me? Like him with Alex Jones, like, okay, he like questioned it one time. I don't think he really thought that. Like, this is just such hit piece. This is classic liberal, like, slander, just trying
it's
to
crazy to
someone.
Think that an article, a story can be made out of something that the guy... So if you're not plugged in, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Kentucky Derby, has a conversation with, I guess, a reporter who now works for CNN, or and says something, questions Sandy Hook openly to her, and says something like... you know, don't you wonder why there's men in black out in the woods behind the elementary school, which is a conspiracy born from someone like an Alex Jones, which is where, you know, Dom went to condemn the, you know, it's such a tragic situation, bringing up conspiracy aspect of it. But my point with Dom that I was making, and I think you kind of echo that, is Aaron Rodgers is the kind of guy, he's a troll, where he's just going to bring up random crap, throw crap at the wall, hope that it sticks, in effort one to make headlines, and two because he just has that kind of conspiracy theory type mind where he just wants to have open discussions about random things whether he actually believes them or not.
He's a contrarian. That's what he is. I mean, he just wants to, and he's open-minded, and whether you agree with him or not, he wants to debate. And I mean, that's, I've seen everyone ripping into him, all of sports media, of course, is there, of course the psycho Aaron Rodgers is trying tied to RFK, the anti-vax. It's just fear. It's
Aaron
just all fear.
Thinks that he's the relative on Thanksgiving that nobody wants to, you know, get caught in a corner with because this guy tells you the hard truths.
Oh, yeah.
When in reality, it's because you've told me to read 48 Laws of Power and about the Illuminati every Thanksgiving for a decade, and I'm tired of it. And, well, by the
get
way,
around
by the way, right, exactly.
And, but, I told listen, you last
let me be fair. I'm going to do exactly what Aaron said, because Aaron said before you comment on him, you should have to disclose your vaccination status. So double vaxxed, Pfizer not boosted. Now, does that impact my opinion on Aaron Rodgers? No. You know why? Kirk Cousins not vaxxed. Nobody says a mumbling word about him. Nope. I'm pretty sure Lamar Jackson's not vaxxed. I'm not sure. Best I can tell, Lamar Jackson won't even take Dayquil. My guy gets sick every year. He's going to win the MVP. We don't. The commentary is not about your vaccination status. It's about you being the most disingenuous athlete of my lifetime. You were disingenuous about the vaccine. That was annoying. Not the status, the way you did it. You were disingenuous about your retirement status. 90% retired. You were disingenuous about coming
media.
Out of the dark room. I'm going to play for the Packers.
Why are you yelling?
That was my only goal. You were disingenuous about how well Verizon works in Southern California. You were then disingenuous about whether or not you wanted Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Tim Boyle on your team, or if Joe Douglas is just quite simply the worst talent evaluator in NFL history. You were disingenuous about why Nat Hackett's the offensive coordinator. You're now disingenuous about your own comeback, which you were disingenuous about the entire time.
All right. I've had enough of Nick Wright.
Dude, he wants to be relevant. He just wants to scream. And trust me, I think some of those, you know, sayings were funny, like the Illuminati thing. I get it. Like, that's how I feel sometimes with what we do. But like, come on. He really just wants to have open conversations. And really, a lot of the old clips I look at with him, whether
you're
talking about COVID,
right.
Yeah, I mean, he just has, like, he says, when did things become 100% one side or the other? Yeah, this clip, go ahead.
If science can't be questioned, it's not science anymore, it's propaganda.
Ooh, wow. You're going to start some shit. That's a deep
that's
statement.
The truth. I mean, when somebody comes out with a scientific study, right, what do they always say? They say it's a peer reviewed, right? What does that mean? It means that people in the same field have gone through it and questioned the hypothesis and questioned the research and looked it up to see, does this research stand up? That's what science is all about. It's about forming hypotheses, questioning those, testing those, and then releasing the results. When did science become this blind agreement with, and then not having any debate over what can actually heal people and work for people.
Well,
that makes no sense to me.
Well,
I mean,
if science can't
right.
be.
Yep. I mean, why is that wrong? Why is that wrong? Why can't we just talk about it? And that's, this is what people don't see. This is what people don't get. They read the goddamn headline. Oh, anti-vaxxer, psycho, wants to kill the country. Oh, don't vote for him. So I don't know. This doesn't push me off of Kennedy. I still think it would be a hard thing for him to overcome. So I hope he doesn't really do it. I know it's still hard for him to win this, but I hope they kind of make a splash officially in a different way. And maybe Aaron Rodgers could help promote him and all this.
What do you think is bigger? Like the NFL is pretty divided on Aaron Rodgers. Do you think the sect of Pat McAfee, you know, question askers, is that bigger than the sect of individuals who are NFL fans that are just sick of hearing about Aaron Rodgers in the news? Like,
yeah, I think that kind of goes to the bigger group of, like, you know, the pro Joe Rogan, the pro UFC kind of almost kind of Bernie Trump mixture, libertarian-ish, like independent-ish. Like, they didn't necessarily love anyone ever, but they're just looking out for their own interests. And I think those people are still considering Kennedy, and there's probably more of them than they think. And a lot of those people probably don't hate Rodgers, I would think. You know, maybe in the other, there's other groups I'm sure that do hate him, like you said, in the NFL or liberals or even true conservatives. But I do think, like, that group of, like, the, they think, quote unquote, irrelevant people, it's bigger than they think. Like, look at all these huge podcasters that have RFK on, and they all, like, love him. Like, I think that's, it's going to be a bigger pool than they think, but it's still really hard to overcome the
Minnie writes, and I'm surprised Dan isn't wearing an RFK Jr. baseball cap. And I've been a little bit more hesitant over time to, like, yeah, Anthony's the guy with the shirts. And the reason why I am is I just feel like if he goes with someone like Aaron Rodgers, who is someone who's been questioning coronavirus, as someone who's definitely leaned more conservative in the media, I'm really concerned that that solidifies Biden winning the election. Because then it just becomes Kennedy siphoning off Trump voters. And my number one priority in this whole thing, 2024, is keeping that man, Joe Biden, out of the White House.
I just think Trump is going to make it revenge tour. And I know he was questioned on that on Squawk Box this week, and he pretty much said the revenge is going to be success. I just don't necessarily believe him. I think a lot of it's going to be political revenge, and then we still suffer. Will he be better than Biden? Maybe. I'll say
100%. Sure. No, definitely better than Biden. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I just get scared it's going to be more of the attack still.
I just think, I think it's a little bit overblown, the revenge tour. Because Trump, while always aggressive and bloviating and talks loud, he's always been strategic in his decision-making overall. Like, it doesn't make much sense at the time, but then you'll look back 3 months later, you'll be like, oh, shit, he actually, like, you know, was kind of making sense there. And, you know, his moves now make sense. I guess it's the 4D chess that you hear about. I'm genuinely concerned that this just removes any kind of opportunity for a... I don't know. I'd like to see RFK almost run with Trump, I think.
I think that's kind of best case scenario, but I don't think either of them are going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So just going through some comments here. Oh, I want to talk about Saquon Barkley coming to the Eagles.
Woo!
You're not excited?
I don't know. I'm like middle of the road on it. I've talked myself into it. I was initially pretty angry because of the Swift signing. Like, he signed for 10 a year, and I think almost maybe he hasn't played his best football yet. Saquon, I think maybe he has. I'm not trying to downplay Saquon. He is a very hard worker. Also, we're not the Giants. We're not going to run him into the ground. We have plenty of weapons, and this really makes it easier on Jalen when it comes from a running perspective. So maybe that's why they did shell out the $12 million. But they could get rid of him after a year. So I don't necessarily hate it. Howie always backloads contracts. He's guaranteed $26 million. So we're still going to have to pay next year if we move him. But either way, you know, I'll say this. Whether it's this, the Huff move, you know, them getting Gardner Johnson back, who, true Philadelphian, said we were scumbags and the people suck and then wanted to come back just like a true same. I did the same thing.
Right.
So, yeah, true Philadelphian. Welcome to the club.
Gardner Johnson.
Welcome back, buddy.
I finally accepted you.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets it now.
Yeah.
but regardless, I've been worried about them. I really almost got the vibe that they wanted to just run it back. But them making a big splash on offense, realizing that offense was an issue, also getting Huff on defense.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, sorry, man.
No, you're good. I was going to say just also securing defense a little bit with Huff and also probably having a defense focus in the draft. I don't know. It proves to me that I think they know they have to change, and that's important. So
I'm excited to see what Kellen Moore does with it. I mean, he's always had a very strong running back with his teams. Eckler, you got Elliott, you got a bunch. So if you got Saquon there now, I'm excited to see what he does with him. I'm just worried that you've seen Ezekiel Elliott down the Cowboys with Kellen Moore just run into the ground. They needed Tony Pollard to step in there. Saquon in his injury history got a long-term contract when it comes to running backs here.
I think Barkley's always been better than Zeke. I'll put that on the record.
Oh, yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. But I also think he's more injury-prone than Zeke, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, that could be true.
All right, so I want to bounce back to what we were talking about with the revenge tour and 4D chess, because what I was trying to say there with the 4D chess, I feel like Donald Trump always has some kind of plan in mind, and I don't see what his benefit would be not being able to serve more time as president by going after his political enemies once he's in office. So I think that whole idea is overblown. Slumdog, though, asks, with Biden, he's not going to do nothing. With Trump, he's going to do something. I just don't know what his doing something is. Are you voting for nothing or something? Can you make something out of nothing, or do you make something into nothing? It weirdly makes a lot of sense, that entire comment, even though it shouldn't.
But let me rebuttal that, saying I'm not, you know, I get that point, and I get trying to support the cause that you align with more. But I also really want to make a point to the establishment and the quote-unquote uniparty that, like, third-party options are a thing, and, like, they're happening, and you're going to have to adjust. If these parties don't start representing the people you say you represent, then, yeah, other people are going to get the support, and you better start adjusting. So that's almost where I'm at. I get that, you know, maybe I won't necessarily make that point.
Like, are you concerned about what Trump's something is? Like because I think it's true. Biden's going to continue doing nothing. He's not going to close the borders. He's not going to fix the economy. He's not going to do crap if we reelect him to another 4 years. Actually, he's going to, I think, nefariously continue doing nothing to essentially ruin our society, which it seems like is some kind of weird goal of his. On the other side, I think Trump's going to actively try to make things better. He's going to work on strengthening our borders. I think he's going to get the oil reserves going, hopefully boot up our energy sect, which will, I think, have a great effect on the economy.
I mean, I'll give him that. The oil thing he did do, but I think a lot of the other stuff Trump people talk about, or Trump voters, I'm not saying you specifically, it could be anyone, but I think I have a problem with them saying he got all this done. He drained the swamp. He built the wall. No, he didn't. He talked about it. I mean, he spent more time getting into all this social BS and falling for it with the whole Kaepernick thing. And, you know, we could get, I don't want to rant about that. But again, we could get into freedom and the principles of the party. And I just think a lot of the time he was all talk. And trust me, he's fun to watch and talk. Like, just from an entertainment standpoint, if he won again, we'd have great content the next 4 years. So, you know, I'm not opposed in that sense, but I don't know. I just think a lot of it, he is more similar to these people he pretends to be different than, you know, like he's been in politics for 10 years. Like, he's one of them now. And I'm not saying, yes, does maybe he have a better vision than the swamp, quote unquote? Sure, I'll give you that. But I still think he's more like them than not. And that concerns me.
Yeah. Especially, I think RFK is the perfect example of a quote, swamp drainer. Even though, I mean, it's Kennedy, it's hard to say that, but
is he the Drano, even with a name that?
Right. I mean, it sounds like he might have drank some. No, oh, that's a bad joke. Oh, man. Okay. Let's scratch that
oh,
one from
no.
I don't know though. If you're looking at Trump versus Biden and you're being honest with ourselves, is the country in 2026, halfway through a presidency, going to look better under Trump or under Biden?
I just think people will be unmotivated.
It's Trump.
With that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we can agree to disagree there. I, motivated for what? Just
No, the rematch that nobody wants. Like, I really think Democrats are sick of Biden. I think a lot of people in general are sick of Trump, not just Democrats. But I mean, agree. He has his fans too. I'm not saying he doesn't, and they'll help him a lot. But I just, unless Trump adjusts a good bit, I don't think he can get moderates or Democrats.
I think he can get moderates. And I think he can do that by...
I mean, maybe like moderates here, but or in the South, I guess.
Like if he gets Tulsi Gabbard, you don't think he can win over some moderates?
That's not a bad point. Do you think his VP matters that much?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because he has to stay away from a Mike Pence type. You know, last time, 2016, it was appealing to evangelicals. You know, 2020, I don't know really what the strategy was by keeping Pence, but I guess he kind of had to. But I think your strategy right now is capturing a sect of voters that you might be able to grasp that being moderates, particularly women. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can largely do that with a Tulsi Gabbard type. And
Nikki Haley won't do it. They wouldn't. They hate each other too much. That's not going to happen.
Oh, no, I don't think Nikki would. I don't really know if there's any other moderate type women besides Tulsi that I could see him teaming up with.
There's been a couple.
Like Kristi Noem's not very moderate.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jennifer Stefano came on with Dawn of the Commonwealth Foundation. And she said that Trump's best bet will be a Democrat that's willing to jump the aisle and advance their career and become VP. That's willing to betray Biden. Could you imagine? Like, I don't know. I think something like that could really help. But
yeah,
I think unless some sort of...
But like, who would that be? Trying to think. Did she suggest any names?
I don't think so off the top of my head. Maybe she did. Yeah. I could be misquoting her. It was, you know, she just said that on the fly. But either way, I think that would be a smart move, or getting a moderate.
You got, like, Manchin or someone, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if conservatives would really want that, like someone like Manchin.
Yeah, but I think they'll vote for Trump no matter what.
Kind of weak back. That's true. That's true. You're very right there. Person I always say, I mean, he's too early in his career, but he'd make a hell of a vice president. Jeff Van Drew.
That'd be
freaking awesome.
Yeah, I do like Van Drew a lot. And shout out to him for coming on all the time.
No, I don't say that just because he comes on. Like, I've known Van Drew going back now, man, coming up on 10 years, I feel like. Like, all the way back. So I did radio out in Atlantic City, and he would come in as a state assemblyman at the time. Maybe even as a dentist, as an advertiser, and would host shows or sit in as a guest. And I just watched his career grow and explode over time. And then he had that rally with Trump when he flipped from being a Democrat to a Republican, as you're stating. He'd be a great, great name. He's just a congressman, and he's, you know, inexperienced compared to others who have like 20 years under their belt. Congressman.
That could be interesting, but it's probably going to be a woman or not a white guy, just to be honest. Trump's probably going to try to appeal to an identity group, which is ironic because they're all, you know, oh, let's not be part of identity, but then they're going to be. So,
Tim Scott.
Maybe. I mean, he says all the right things, but it seems like Trump doesn't want him. Seems like that guy that's begging to date the girl.
I feel like Tim Scott, like, is going to scare away a young vote. Because he's just so corny, if we're being honest.
They're just going to frame him as Uncle Tom. That's all it's going to be. And,
like, the SNL's already started, and the guy hasn't been a frontrunner for VP. It's, like, he was briefly a VP frontrunner, but they're already, like, targeting him because he's just easy to make fun of, I feel. But Dr. Ben Carson, I mean, was also floated, and one of my favorites, you know, from when he ran for president, but just very, very sleepy. I don't know how you pick up any votes. I guess it's a good counter to Trump's
sleepy Joe, though. Just like all the other sleepy people. Oh,
sleepy Ben Carson. All right, brother, anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
We could get into so much more, but I would say the last thing I want to get into is the Boeing thing. Just
really quick. Yeah. When I was flying, I was very concerned that luckily I was on an Airbus, not a Boeing. Actually,
Boeing whistleblower John Barnett found dead in the U.S. right around the time he was testifying on all this Boeing stuff. So, really weird. Again, not claiming anything. This is all, you know, just happening. But Mm-hmm. It just seems like too much of a coincidence, man. Like, how does this stuff keep happening? Just
the guys, providing information for a lawsuit, and he's offering evidence for a defamation lawsuit. He's telling things like the crazy amount of shortcuts that they were taking around safety checks and safety issues, and a lot of what you know. There have been a lot of issues, a door plug blowout that we saw in Alaska, that might have been prevented had Boeing actually followed stuff they were supposed to follow. And this guy was one of the main whistleblowers in exposing the stuff going on at Boeing that's been leading to a lot of this controversy. And he's allegedly he died from, quote, self-inflicted gunshot wounds.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that needs to be investigated. I don't care. You could say we're crazy for it. Why are we crazy? I mean, the JFK stuff isn't out still. They won't tell us. They said they were gonna. They haven't.
Yep.
So I'm sick of sounding like I'm not a crazy person. Start telling us the truth and investigate this shit. My God, it's like we're not. We are crazy. Allegedly, these are rumors. But supposedly, all of Boeing's board and their CEO didn't even fly Boeing. Also, guess who's partners all the time with Boeing? The Clintons and Nikki Haley. Oh, woo, my favorite people. Of course. Of course they are. Oh my God. Again, the swamp. Just disgusting. I'm so sick and tired of it. That again, we just need transparency. But instead they make us sound crazy. And we keep going in this cycle.
Yeah, so some of the things that he claimed, he said one Boeing factory had been deliberately fitting faulty parts to planes to meet production deadlines. Oxygen masks in the 787 Dreamliner had a one in four chance of failing during an emergency. Barnett said he alerted Boeing managers as well as the FAA to the concerns, but no action had been taken. Boeing denied these allegations, though it acknowledges that an inspection in 2017 found that some oxygen bottles were in fact not deploying properly. And it goes on to have more process violations and such pointed out. Fishy.
Definitely just something that needs
to be good point, Manny. I feel like that's one of the last things people say before they're admitted into an insane asylum is I'm not a crazy person.
It's so
as they're being dragged away.
I'm so true. It's here we go with the Minnie's right. She is. Let me just say one more thing locally. Sherelle Parker, she was a lot of talk today, but I do like it. I'll say the commitment to $0 to clean needles for Kensington, as much as that seems like, again, a low bar, that's huge for me for an immediate change. Let's hope she keeps pushing. Let's hope, you know, the ATV dirt bike detail keeps cracking down as they've supposedly been doing lately. And she's been pointing a lot to safety and called out a lot of the officials that need to work with her. So, I mean, we'll see. It's going to keep moving forward. I think she really has to start coming to Krasner, especially with this whole SEFTA safety oversight with Shapiro and now Krasner suing back. So they're going to have to really bite back and kind of put their feet in the ground. And, you know, she has to dig in her position and go against it. So we'll see.
Krasner knows he's losing grasp. Mm-hmm. on his power, mm-hmm. and it's so fascinating and fantastic to see. Yep. Like he can't hold up this SEPTA thing any longer. Like he's now protesting about Act 40, and you know, saying that
it takes away my power.
And meanwhile, kids are being freaking shot and killed on SEPTA in particular, and it's fascinating that the city in general seems to have really shifted under Parker from a safety standpoint. Homicides low, but somehow the one issue that Krasner has his name attached to is headline after headline of just complete violence. So somehow Krasner land just continues, even with a new mayor.
Yep.
It's disappointing.
Well, and let's start standing up. There's all these Palestine protests and all this stuff. Let's start standing up for our own kids. Can we have protests for our kids here?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Let's stand as a city. Let's stand up against it. Everyone.
Yeah. He killed himself with a magic bullet.
Same dog.
I get the connotation there. I'll leave it up there for another second. We had famous numbers today, and you can imagine what number was one of the first taken off the board.
Oh, what a shock. Minnie, we know you're messing around. I know you don't think I'm crazy, but plenty of people do, so it's fine.
Minnie, you don't have to say that you're messing around, because I know it's the truth. He is indeed going crazy.
Yeah.
Me too. It's the radio waves, the AM radio waves that just affect our brains.
It's been poisoned to our brain.
They're dragging me down. They need to shut down Prevention Point. I was a dope user years ago. Wasn't allowed to participate in relapse reduction meetings. They have a clique of users there. Yeah, I mean, we got a guy last week that called in with, he was pretty much saying the same thing is, you know, these needle exchange programs are necessary to essentially enable his addiction.
Yeah.
But he would love to get help, and we got him help, thankfully, but haven't had an update yet.
It's amazing.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. But we'll let you know if we hear anything back from our guy who's allegedly sitting in a rehab somewhere as he tries to get off the trank. The trank is a... It's not fun. It's not fun.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Another shout out to Andrew Callahan and Channel, what is it, Channel 5 News?
Yeah. Yeah. Watch, if you haven't, it's a tough watch, but it's great if you have the time. Yeah.
Really explores the in-depth, the relationship between the cartels, China, and Trank and fentanyl and all the shit we see here in Philadelphia in particular. All right. Anything big going on this weekend for you, Anthony? Big on the Gone Show tomorrow? Much.
Some St. Patrick's Day festivities. We're getting into it. Spring is here. It's freaking beautiful out. I'll take it. I'm ready.
75 degrees up here.
I don't want to wear a jacket ever again. I'm going outside immediately as we're done here. So,
are you wearing shorts?
I am wearing shorts, yeah.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Anthony's one of the guys that wears shorts the minute he can wear shorts and won't take them off until it's like December 30th.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
You love your shorts.
I do.
All right, guys. Join me and Dom tomorrow at noon. Join Anthony starting at, 6 a.m., 5:30 a.m.?
6 a.m., baby. Yes,
6 a.m. every day. Anthony with the Kalen Company, Don Stensland Show, me with the Dom Giordano program. We'll be back next week with the other side, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good one, everyone.
See ya.